not celebrating, then you are not ready for his finish.
Reveals the church is the territorial perspective. And on the strength of that, I invite you to Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 9. Stay with me, it's Bible study. Who took the clock? There was a clock. Or in my vision, there's no clock. All right, I thought I was in a trance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now we welcome our Father. Please, can you make him welcome? Can you make him welcome? Can you make him? Are you making welcome? It's a field marshal. It's a field marshal. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll do Revelation chapter 1. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. And his hair and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, can you jump quickly? Jump a few verses to verse 18 because of time. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the 7 and the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Hallelujah. We're going to begin from here for about 1 hour as we try to set the coordinates for an exodus, a migration from our current context of understanding of the church, which is an infrastructure set up within the territory through which the purposes and the plans of God can be administered. Now, obviously you know that all the other apostles apart from Apostle John died as martyrs. And only Apostle John was preserved as at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation. Every one of them was killed because of his conviction. And Jesus decided to preserve John. You might ask, why John? You may need to make reference to what happened when his mother came to Jesus in the company of his brother. And when they came to Jesus, they came with a great request. And the request had to do with several administrative positions that were in the kingdom of God. They came to vie for positions. And the request was that Jesus should grant that one of her sons should sit on his right hand and the other son should sit on the left in the kingdom that he came to establish. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Notice Jesus' response when the proposal was made. First of all, Jesus asked the question whether they were able to partake in his baptism and to drink from his cup. Now, I'm not sure the mother meditated deeply on the implication of the question that Jesus gave, but she answered nonetheless in the affirmative that if it will require baptism, my children are ready for it. If it will require them drinking from a cup, my children, the one I gave birth to, they are ready for it. Unknown to her, the baptism that Jesus spoke about was a baptism of death. Unknown to her, the cup that Jesus spoke about was a cup of suffering. And it came to pass when the raging hordes of darkness invaded the church. If you check your Bible in the book of Acts of the Apostles, you'll find out that the first victim of that invasion was James. It means that the proposal had reached headquarters. Alright? Now, you see, even though Jesus had the authority to include them in the baptism and in the cup, he said that the final approval of who will eventually sit on the left and on the right was not within his own scope of authority. But he promises that the file will go for onward consideration after passing from his table. So when the effect of that transaction began to come with so much power, it is obvious that the file reached headquarters. James was the first one that came under that fire. It means that the next option was the cup of suffering. It was because of that that John did not die as a martyr. His own destiny had to do with another weight of suffering that will open up other heights of revelation. And so when he gave us his credentials in the book of Revelation chapter 1, he said, I, John, he introduced himself properly. I am your brother, I am your companion in tribulation. I don't want to press on that for tonight. I'm your companion in tribulation. You see, those days, there were so many people that wrote letters. But you see, the shape of the church at that time, the church was going through intense persecution. And even though there were many letter writers, there were few people that were part of the persecution. And a genuine prophet is not supposed to be separate from the people he has been called to lead. And so he told us his identity, that in this current time, when the body of Christ is under the yoke of persecution, I am your companion in the same. In fact, I was sent on exile on the Isle of Patmos because of the testimony of God that I bore. So that gave his letter credibility among the people of God, because he was part of the body of suffering of that age, and he had his own fair share of the implication of being identified with Jesus. So he gave us his credentials. Hallelujah. I don't want to pray. The last time I preached from this scripture, I had persecution. Now, so I'm careful with it. I made a mistake and I said, John was not that kind of pastor that will come into a region and because of the pressure, he will shut down, he will change the signboard. That was the... John was a companion. In fact, that was part of his CV. Hallelujah. So pressure will not take over this man. Pressure cannot change his resolve. Pressure cannot change his conviction. Now, you begin to wonder what kind of training he received for him to be cut off from civilization. I don't want... Baba will help us. You see, historical perspective revealed the kind of treatment that John was given because of his conviction. John, that is historical perspective, not the Bible, historical perspective. John was placed in boiling oil. Boiling oil could not kill John because his own portion was a cup of suffering and not the baptism of death. He was brought out of boiling oil, obviously battered. A man's stone was hung around his neck and he was cast into the open sea. He lived for 3 days as a water creature. Death could not take him because that was not his portion. It was after that he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, an island where criminals are cut off from civilization to hunger and die of affliction. That was his story. It was in that Isle of Patmos that he was exiled to on the basis of his testimony. That it came to pass on the Lord's day. He was not in the spirit every day. Initially, he was counting his sores and his wounds and his afflictions. And then he tried to dial the number, J-E-S-U-S, on the Lord's day. Probably a coincidence. And then he entered into another space entirely. A space that is not far from this realm in terms of distance, but in terms of dimension. And as he came into that space, he saw that there were activities going on in that space. On the strength of the activities that took place in that space, he had to be subjected to what is called a recalibration. That's what we came here for. For a recalibration exercise. For those of you that use instrumentation for your job. Hallelujah. You know, if you use a ruler for 5 years, it's no longer correct. The measurements it will give is wrong. You need to subject it to recalibration. You have to take that ruler and put it side by side, what we call the master instrument, and criticize it based on the master. Align it with the master. So if you are using any form of instrument whatsoever, it must be subject to recalibration occasionally. Now, as we proceed in the journey, you come to find out that the chief agent of even the body of Christ, we need recalibration once and again. Because today we believe Jesus is a money doubler. And he's a God that gives men false hope. I will tell you that next week something is about to happen. Next week you receive a phone call. We arrived there because of inconsistent recalibration. Hence, we need to emphasize the office of the apostle and the culture that derives from that throne. Now, this man was still, he broke into a dimension. And when he came into that dimension, activity was going on. Let us check and pick a few things, few activities going on in the dimension. First of all, this apostle, you know, in the days of his flesh, when Jesus was still physically present upon the face of the earth, his best friend was John. Now, if it was anybody that knew Jesus, it was John. In fact, it was to John that he committed his murder. Meanwhile, he did not even give John prior notice before that commitment. He said, "Woman, behold your son." That was an introduction of commitment. It's not as if they didn't know themselves before that day. But he caught them unawares. He was able to do that kind of quick fix with John because of his intimacy with him. If there was anybody that knew Jesus, it was John. If you study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you will notice, you may not agree with me anyway, but if you do a very systematic study of the book of John, you see it's deeper than all the other books. Even though each book perceives Jesus from a different light. The book of Matthew sees Jesus from his context as a king. The book of Mark sees Jesus from the context as a slave savior and that came to fulfill a charter that was written in the volume of the books, and that is the reason from which he was given a body. The book of Luke views him as a substitute, the book of the universal grace of God. It's in the book of Luke that he earned the name the Son of Man, because he stands on behalf of the human race to satisfy the claims of divine justice. But the book of John is deeper. Not about status, not about mission. The book of John speaks about life. It's a book of life. You see, and in the book of John, you'll find out that there are 18 characteristics of the manifestation of the Zoe kind of life. The Zoe kind of life in Jesus that made him separate from every other mortal man. So John studied him from his life, because John knew him by revelation. Now, so John knew Jesus deeper, I believe, than every other person that wrote about him in the Gospels. But when we came to the Isle of Patmos, And he was given the privilege to come into this dimension that was calling for him all these days until he eventually came in on the last day. He needed a reintroduction of Jesus. You see, his perspective of Jesus was time-based. Right? Jesus of Nazareth. Is that not a wonderful insight? But from the immortal realm, he discovered that Jesus existed before he was born. He is coming to acknowledge a reality that transcends the time frame. And he will need to discard his Jesus of Nazareth insight in order for him to capture the reality of this personality from the immortal perspective. It's on the strength of this recalibration. That's what I call recalibration. Moving from Jesus of Nazareth to Alpha and Omega. That's a recalibration exercise. You can pioneer a church because of a revelation. Maybe a scripture came upon your heart so strong. Without holiness, no eye can see God. John was encountering something that was more than a scripture being revealed to him. John was coming into contact with the colossus of the heavens. You see, every form of kingdom service derives from that personality. In fact, all of us today, we are just carrying on various fragments and portions of the ministry he was doing when he was physically present here. Alright? Now, so we should be able to trace your ministry to Jesus. We should be able to. If we cannot trace it to Jesus, something that Jesus was doing when he was physically present here, then you have no ministry. Because he is reference for service. He is the chartered servant concerning the purposes of God. He is the chief administrator of God's divine purposes, plans. So your own service in the kingdom of God must be an offshoot of what he did when he was physically present here. It was not a revelation of a scripture that John was about to receive. It was a revelation of a person. And if John does not meet this person, John is not going to enter into the next phase of his calling. The next phase of his calling was not so much of pulpit ministry anymore. It was writing. Writing. And not just apostolic writing, because he had been involved in apostolic writing all the while. Now he was coming into prophetic writing. And in order for him to be commissioned into prophetic writing, he needs to go beyond his time-based references into the immortal pillars of realities. Now, that must be the reference from whence we view the church. If not, it will be one fine preacher against the other. If not, there will be no way to judge what is accurate and what is not in alignment with the plumb line. We will have no reference for our adventure of faith. And so he was taken beyond the scope of the ability to open a scripture and bring light from it. Wrong with the revelation of a scripture that breaks into the spirit man. He was going beyond that. He was going to see the structure of the immortal realm and the powers that govern that realm. Now, it is on the strength of this, his insight, that he discovered that his perspective concerning Jesus Christ. Please, that sound is not from me, okay? That is from somewhere else. Stay with me. Stay with me. I don't have time. We are doing this route today in my own quota, my small quota that I have to present to the brethren. This route I'm doing is in keeping with the distance I'm trusting God to be able to make in my quota. Now this man is brought to consider things from the immortal perspective. Then he now realizes that his identity, his revelation, his insight of Jesus will not pass the immortal test. Jesus of Nazareth doesn't work there. What works there is Alpha Omega. Meanwhile, you must understand that Jesus is an immortal personality. There is no end to his revelation. Are you with me? Now, heaven, eternity, will be insufficient in knowing everything that Jesus is. Eternity will be insufficient because it's not a time-based personality. It's an eternal personality. And he existed before eternity began. Just like the person that made this pulpit is not inside of the pulpit. It's outside. So the one that created eternity existed outside of eternity, but he decided to have that as a frame of reference. It's a decision. Right? So eternity is not sufficient for us to know everything about God, because he has no end. Eternity is small compared to his reality. Now this man must be brought into that immortal frame of things in order for him to write to the churches. Because on the strength of the persecution that the churches are going through, the infrastructure that was built by doctrine is being compromised. Apart from the persecution on the outward, there was also adulteration coming from the inward. All kinds of doctrines were beginning to rise. The doctrine of Jezebel, the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Those were ingrained, they were inside movements that wanted to steal the essence of the reality of the church. And so a prophetic kind of apostle had to be separated from civilization for him to touch the immortal pillars and then bring capsules. You know, those is epistles, were actually prescriptions from the physician of Gilead. Because the church at that time was experiencing an invasion that was eroding its culture. A new culture was being formulated. And so God had to isolate an apostle for him to touch the immortal pillars and to see things from the immortal frame of reference. Are you with me?
Yes.
Alright, you got that a little. So in this immortal realm, communication is different. Are you with me? So he needs to learn a new kind of communication. I don't have time for us to press on Jesus as Alpha and Omega. We don't have time. But that is a ticket that gave him access to the next phase of his calling. He had to see that the person he's dealing with is not time-based. Are you with me? So he discarded his Jesus of Nazareth revelation. When he now discovered that the shape of the realm he's dealing with is not time-based, then he received the ability to write about things in the past, things happening now, and then things in the future. Because in the context of the revelation of Alpha Omega, it was an eternal now. It's in space and time that is broken into past and present. But in that immortal realm, it is an eternal now that you can capture by an encounter. Well, the Lord help me. That's why I don't want to go into that. It will take us so much time and it will not allow us go where I'm going. Now, so we are doing recalibration. That's what we are doing. We are trying to restore the integrity of our eyes and our lenses. You know, I said we need new eyes and what? New lenses. So to restore the integrity of our eyes and our lenses, let us describe everything from the perspective of the immortal realm. Now, I need to be careful in this my presentation, because communication in the immortal realm is different from that in the natural. No time to be with that. No time. No time to be with that. All right. Okay. Let's just go straight. Now, when John, he heard so many things. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, sent to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he was attracted. And he turned to see who was speaking. Hallelujah. And when he turned, he thought he needed to physically turn before he would see. It was a reality. He was still behaving like a mortal. He was trying to achieve some motion. Maybe the movement will help him. Meanwhile, all such disclosures are by the Spirit. His carnal movement was not required in the encounter. Well, he turned to see the voice that spoke. And when he was turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks. And when he looked closer, he now saw one that looked like his friend. Now, every infrastructure there was not familiar until he saw his friend. Said, one that looked like the Son of Man. You know, I said that if there was anybody that knew who he was, it was John. And they said the Son of Man was moving, walking in the midst of the candlesticks. And hallelujah. And then the proclamations, the reintroduction, and all of those glorious things happened. And then the commissioning, when he had received the revelation, that was in the context. In fact, in the Greek, there's no and in between Alpha Omega. In the Greek, it is Alpha Omega. I know that's difficult for your brain to capture, but it's immortal. I hope you know that this is because this realm is a realm of time, space, and matter. That's why we can say past and present. But the realm of eternity is not a realm of time, not a realm of space. Spirits don't need space. Spirits don't need time. Spirits do not have matter. Their own frame of reference is different from this natural frame of reference. And John is learning very fast. Hallelujah. And he sees one like unto the Son of Man. So Jesus now begins the recalibration exercise. Now, let's do the recalibration. Don't forget the context you are forgetting. Don't forget the context. Don't forget. The context is territorial. It says the churches, the seven churches in Asia, territory. Don't forget that. Because there are various perspectives from whence we can view the church. But the perspective in the book of Revelation is territorial perspective. Are you with me? All right. So, let's go on with the recalibration. Then from there, we can make progress for 30 minutes. And my time will be accomplished. But at least, would have been able to establish recalibration. The experience was glorious. Seeing the Son of Man wading through the candlesticks, it was a glorious experience. Quite refreshing. But you see, it was the spirit of revelation that was at work. Now, you need much more than the spirit of revelation in order to profit from an encounter. The spirit of revelation brings you into the visionary environment of the reality. But you see, communication on that level is different from what your mind can capture. Have you ever had a dream before, and when you woke up from your dream, you didn't have a clue what it meant? Because communication in that realm is superior to the frequency upon which your thought is fashioned, is framed. And so he had a glorious encounter. But you see, the spirit of wisdom, we need to bring, interpret the metaphors in the encounter in order for it to be profitable for him. So he had this glorious encounter. But you see, the spirit of wisdom went to walk in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 20. That's where we're going to take off from. Revelation chapter 1 verse 20. Do you have it on the screen? Now listen. We did not have time to to identify that in the mortal realm, communication is in form of mystery. That's how communication is. There is a high level of secrecy that secures the realm. You will need to have partnership with the guardian of the realm for you to be allowed into the economy of decoding the mystery. It is because the devil does not have access to the guardian of the realm that the devil cannot understand the realities of this realm. It's like darkness to him. You know the Bible says something. It says, eyes have not seen. Huh? Say, ears have not heard. He said, it has not occurred into the heart of man. What's that? Mystery. It's beyond what you can just stumble on by a wild thought. It's beyond that scope. You know the Bible says we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's the spirit of God that exercises guardianship over this realm. And except you are in partnership with him, you will not be able to understand the metaphors because they are sealed in mystery. You know, Jesus said unto you, it is given to know what? Mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Alright, let's leave that. Let's come back to our recalibration page. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. This is wisdom himself giving us perspective, trying to reveal what the metaphors mean. According to wisdom, he said, the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Now, if I had a board, I would have put this here. Seven stars refer to the angels of the churches. You see, the spirit of wisdom has broken it down to our own thought level. Spirit of revelation gives you access to the insight, and then spirit of wisdom brings it to a level where your thought can pick it and where comprehension is possible. Now, so he said that in this particular encounter he had, there were several metaphors that were signed. The signature of these metaphors were signed in by the Holy Ghost. And now he's trying to give us perspective of the meanings. And he said that the seven golden candlesticks refer to the churches. Now, just like I said, don't forget the territory, the context. The context is what? Good. All right. That means, hallelujah. Don't forget those two things. I want to define it. Then we can now move and we can see the church. And then you'll be able to know territorially if the presence of the church is not in a particular place. You can know where to look at, and then you know that the church is not here. There can be a handbill there. There can be a billboard there. There can be people doing some kind of things there. But the church is not there. And that's why we need to go into the immortal realm to see it from that perspective. To understand it from that perspective before we come into the territory. Because when we get to the territory, you are going to find a lot of things that are inconsistent with the perspective of the immortal realm. And a lot of cultures have evolved out of the things happening in the territory which are not captured in the charter, in the immortal realm. So we need to do recalibration. Now, from this scripture, the definition of a minister was raised here. Because, are you with me? The word angelos, which is the Greek for angel, in this context. The context is what? Territorial. Now, so, the context is territorial. So, the angelos that we are talking about here is not an angel that flies in the invisible realm. It's a minister that is set in an assembly. Now, are you still with me? Stay with me. Now, Jesus' perspective
of a minister is revealed. The seven stars, where is the location of the seven stars? In his right hand. Oh, you are not with me. We're trying to define something. Just definition. Okay. The seven stars are where? What is the job of a star? What does it do? It shines. So, where is a star domiciled? A physical star, where is it domiciled? In the sky. Let's be more geographical. It's in the constellations. It's in the constellation. Every star has its orbit. Are you with me? You are following me? Right. So, as a minister, from this immortal perspective, is a luminary, because a star is a luminary. It's a luminary that is held up in the constellations of God. Think about it. Before we progress, think. A luminary that is held up in the constellations of God. Now, if a star, are you with me?
Yes,
if a star leaves its constellations, it is dead. It dies. It remains a star as long as it's within the scope of his constellation. Now, okay, let's take two scriptures quickly. Even though we are not trying to recalibrate, it's not minister. Our emphasis is not a minister. But we are implicated by it in that scripture. That's why I want to touch it a little. Now, can we do a scripture quickly? We throw light on that. And then we'll make progress. In John chapter 3. John chapter 3. A minister from this metaphoric context is a luminary that is held up in the constellations of God. I'm going to explain that. In the book of John chapter 3 from verse 30, if you have, just take me to verse 30. 31. Let's go to 31. 31. John 3, 31. Now, John 3:31 says, "He that cometh from above is above all." That if there is anyone among us that is held up in the constellations of God, there are traits, manifest traits, that must be present in the life of that individual that reveals his source point, that reveals the realm from whence he comes. And the Bible says that he that is from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly. Now, so we have two options. It's either you are from above or you are from the earth. And just in case you are from the earth, you are not part of the stars. Because the stars are defined in their courses, in their constellations, and in their orbits. Now, we have two kinds of people in ministry. Some are starry and some are earthly. The culture that earthly ministers develop is different from. So we have a challenge. The challenge is the source. But the Bible says that he that is from above, can we go on? He that cometh from above, Kai, where, who is this technical man? We have not finished with 31. Are you from the earth? Take it back. Leave it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that he that is from the earth, he speaks from the earth. So when you check what is communicating, he's earthly. Now, I went to a city. If I call the name of the city, you might begin to think wild, and we need to avoid that in this conference. I went to a city, and in this city, there is a great prophet in the city. He's great. His influence is great in the city. In fact, We would not be wrong if we call him the number one church influence, because much more than any Reverend Father, any Anglican priest, anybody you can mention. He is an influence that you must have to reckon with if you come into the city. So most of the Christianity we see in the city is based on his ministry. That's the implication. Because if you become a chieftain of that caliber, Christianity in that locality is based on your influence. And it is unfortunate if your influence is earthly. You might have something like a gift. Maybe people are attracted to you because there is a gift on your life, and they believe that if that gift is being exercised, people get blessed, all of that. So many people have many various reasons to be in church anyway. He has a very strong gift from God, not from the devil. Hallelujah. But if you check this, our master instrument, gift was not mentioned here. He said, he that, if you are from above, you will speak, not gift. Speak from above. It's what you say is a proof of where you are, where you come from. Now, I went to that city and I found out that the average, because we held a meeting, and a great population of that city attended that meeting. While we were doing simple Bible study, just to catch up with the prescribed culture that should be in the church, the simple Bible study was big revelation. So I now say, all right, let's find out what is here. What? Then we found out that it was of the earth. Now, the discovery was strange. Whereas there's a great gift, but this man is not from the consolation. If God is thinking about that city, to redeem that city, he might not be considering that man. It's recalibration. It's always like that. When you are recalibrating an instrument, I use it for 29, it's wrong. That's how we went to. There's an instrument called UTI, Ullage Temperature Instrument. It's a computer that measures the volume of a liquid in a tank that you cannot see. So most of the petroleum products they bring to Nigeria, they are in tanker vessels. All right, the tanker is down. Then we stand on the platform. One of the tanks is, this is not, it's not big. This hall is not big. We're talking about vessels. If you have not been in shipping, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Big. In fact, I've not seen a tall house since I came to Buhari. There's no tall house here. Because most the tanks are, is like three times this, the height of this building. That's one tank. So some of them have 21 tanks, 22 tanks. And then they have the one that they created that you will not know. And the only way you can measure the quantity of product in the tank is using that word. So whether you are right or wrong is dependent on. Your calculations can be impeccable based on the calibration chart. But if this matter. So there are several ventures that you need to depend on an instrument. And then the integrity of the instrument at that point will determine whether you are right or wrong. A star. That's Jesus' perspective of a minister. He must be in the constellation. The support system that provides for him must be the support of Jesus' right hand. That's where he draws his essence from. That's where he draws his capacity from. That's where he draws his wisdom from. His orientation comes from. So there is a deliberate commitment from Jesus to his life that makes him such an influential person. And he influences people with the articles and the deposits that he picks up from the constellations. All right. Before we become sorrowful, let me do my job and go. Second thing we need to look at is the church, which was symbolized by candlesticks we didn't get it. It is from that perspective that we can now begin to draw some matters. Draw two matters. Then we'll see the need for a revival of the apostolic. We'll see the need for the influence of apostolic people in the body of Christ. You will see the need for recalibration. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so Jesus said that the churches symbolize candlesticks. So, what do candlesticks do? The illumination. What's the difference between the star and the candlestick? Is it, if you are saying illumination, what's the difference? Is it not illumination that the star? And so, candlestick, what's the difference? You are a wise man. The star is in the constellation. The candlestick is in the territory. So the witness that the minister brings, he brings it from the constellation. But the witness that the candlestick sustains is a witness that overpowers darkness within the territory. Now, the church, I hope you know, when John looked closely, he saw that in the midst of the candlesticks, Jesus was moving. So it means, therefore, that the witness of the candlestick is actually the witness of Christ. The way the territory can know Jesus is because of that infrastructure built into the territory called the church. Because the assignment of the church is to bear witness, not of itself. The church is not existing for itself. The church is not available for its own purposes. The church is not present for the advantages that can be drawn. The church is there for Jesus' interests, Jesus' purposes, Jesus' assignment. So the church is supposed to be involved in witness bearing. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. That scripture is a confirmation of what I'm trying to say. Are you with me? Now, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, "And ye shall receive power." Stay with me. Are you still here? I'm going closer to the introduction now. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "Ye shall what? Receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses." Huh? Now, he said witnesses unto me. He did not say witnesses for me. Now, you see, the context that we must bring in order for that scripture to, in order for us to find justice on that scripture, is the court. You see, judgment cannot be passed about a case until there is sufficient witness. So imagine that Jesus is in the dock and a generation is trying to find out if he is credible. Witness that comes from the candlesticks come to give perspective to him, come to give justification to his claims, come to give credence, come to give validity. Is that clear? Uh-huh. So if in a situation where we have statistically, we have 74 million Christians in Nigeria. That is statistically. By the time you come into the territorial context, because the proof that the church exists is that there is witness unto me. Right? Notice in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said, "Who do men say that what I am?" And when all the questioners came back, Jesus saw that I don't have a witness among men. So, he now restructured the administration of the questionnaire to 12 people. I said, who do you say that? And then there was now silence. And then you now realize, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
You now realize that even though there were many people following the candlesticks in the territory, were so few for Jesus to win the case because he is in the dock. And so Peter spoke up. And when Peter spoke up, he said, thou art the Christ, referring to his ministry. Thou art the Son of the living God, referring to his person. Jesus now said, this confession you made, which is the great confession, it's not because you studied, it's because you have started operating from the constellations. You see? Not because he went to theological school. He recently has hooked up with the constellations. That's the only reason why he can bring this kind of witness. And where we don't have this witness, the church is not present. Even though we can have... You get that? Uh-huh. So, let's go further with my last 15 minutes to zero it in on the necessity for the theme of this conference. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said that, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. That's the unfortunate thing. The unfortunate thing is that the church must be built. It will not just appear like a miracle. Jesus gave eyes to the blind, but when he came to the church, he said, we will what? Build. That's the problem. The church will not just appear. The church must be built. That's the challenge that we have now. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge. The church must be built. The church will not just appear in a territory. It must be built into the territory. And I did a Bible study here. And from my Bible study, I have 7 points. But we'll just discuss 2 and I'll sit down. These 7 points are the things that need to be available in order for the church to be built according to pattern. Well, tomorrow when we come for a little Bible study, we'll discuss what pattern is, pattern and structure. In order for the church to be built according to pattern, some things must be in place. It was Jesus that said, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. It means that it is possible for the building to be such that thieves are raised. That's the problem. The problem is that the church must be built to the standard. Now, if Jesus had come with a magic wand and he said, church be, we would have been sure of the quality, would have been sure of the integrity. But unfortunately, the church will not just appear. The church must be built. And it is also possible to make the church something else apart from what it's supposed to be. It can become a den of thieves. Hallelujah. We are still trying to justify why apostolic culture. That's my message. Why? Of all the things to preach about and talk about, why are we laboring on the subject of apostolic culture? I said that there are 7 things that must be in place in order for this organism called the church to show in the territory. Don't forget. Are you with me? Oh, we can't do that. Number one. Apostolic culture. This church, this spiritual building that Jesus is involved with, it happens to be that this building is raised and led by the apostles. That's part of the design. I'm just showing you the pattern, the blueprint of church. That territorial entity that is supposed to bear the witness of Christ. You know, in Abuja, statistically, Christians are many. But when we talk of church, we are not talking of Christians. The word Christians is not Jesus that gave us that name. So let's leave that name aside, all right? So, statistically, Christians are many in Abuja, but witness is almost invincible. And that is the integer that must be looked upon to judge whether there is church in the territory. The church, number one, is raised and led by the apostles. That's why we need to do apostolic culture. Let us I have 2 points on that matter. Church is raised and led by the apostles. First of all, are you still with me? First of all, Jesus never raised an evangelist. Jesus never raised a pastor. Jesus never raised a teacher. Jesus never raised a prophet. Jesus only raised apostles. And he did that. You see, this is building. Do we have civil engineers here? I wanted to build and I released 500,000. I thought that I should see a house. When we came, I saw foundation. I drove all the workers from start. They said they had to go so depth because the place was in a swamp. Oh, then when they started educating me, I started understanding that actually 500,000. They were justified by. Now, Jesus set the coordinates, the foundation. And in setting the foundation, his ministry only raised apostles. Didn't raise prophets. Didn't raise evangelists. Didn't raise pastor. Didn't raise teacher. Just raised what? Apostles. So it was the apostolic presence that came into the body of Christ first. The first instructors that we had. Are you with me? Now, I don't have time to show you the exploits of the church of that time because the apostles were first. Now, it is God's intention that the church should be raised under the influence of apostolic DNA. I will explain what that means by tomorrow. It was 8 years later. If you follow Bible chronology, 8 years after the apostolic ministry had been established, that we heard that there was a man called Agabus. It was 8 years later that God now released the prophetic. When apostolic presence and apostolic establishment had come into place. Well, maybe my explanation may not suffice, so we need to do 1 Corinthians chapter 12 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 28. Now the Bible says, and God had set some in the church. Now it's not you that set them, it's God. That's his strategy. How many of you have played chess before? You know how to play chess. The movement of the pieces that you have is strategic, with a view of conquering the other side. And the motion of each piece is different. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, God is playing chess. You see, Okay, if I take it like this, you will not understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says there are diversities of gifts. But the umpire of gifts is the Spirit of God. There are diversities of administrations. That word administration, there is services or ministries. The umpire for services and or ministries is Jesus. And then the Bible says that there are diversities of operations. But the umpire for operations is the Father. I can show you throughout the New Testament division of labor in the Godhead. For instance, the Bible says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. All quickening business is Holy Ghost business. Scripture is aware that there's a personality called the Father and that personality called the Son. But what it is the Spirit that. So when we talk about gifts, the umpire, the one that decides what gift is given, when the gift operates, the name of that personality is the Holy Ghost. The one that determines who receives a call, what kind of call, and when is the time of your manifestation. What is the scope of grace you need to, he is called the Lord of the harvest. Just in case there's an insufficiency of hands, is to the Lord of the harvest we pray. That's Jesus. Are you still with me? And then the Bible says that there are diversities of operations. But is the Father. God that worketh all in all. Now, gifts operate in ministries. Ministries operate within the body. But operations operate within territories. That's why I came here. Because the scope we have been trying to align with is territorial. We can say we have numbers. But what is our territorial impact? That suggests that something is missing in the template. Operations take place in territories. Now, hallelujah. I'm related to your pastor. But we met and began to flow in the kingdom years before we now trace our root and discover that I'm related to him by blood. But we met not on the basis of blood. We met something else. And we fuse together. When I'm on his platform, I don't see it like you see, what has happened is that God fuses people together and platforms together so that there can be operations within the territory. That is what is being described here. I don't have time for it. It's one of the strategies of God, but will not bother you so much with that. So this is a chessboard. And the Bible says God set some. There's a strategic setting that he's doing in keeping with the intention he wants to achieve in the territory. So he begins to bring people together in a particular kind of alignment. Hallelujah. He brings people together. Meanwhile, if we bring, I think we are like six people, six friends now, and we met supernaturally, and it's nothing physical. It's the reason for which we are connected. And the reason why we do what we do is not because of anything that we will gain physically. There is such a blend. And one day, we moved in the flesh and brought another person. The person could not last because it was not part of what God has set. It is we that set. I don't have time to go into what we suffered because we set. it's the body. In fact, I'm still trying to heal from setting. But it is God that set some in the church. This is strategic. And if you check, you will notice that it says first. The Greek for that is proton. First, what? Apostles. You are not with me. So if God wants to do a strategic thing in the territory, what he does is that he begins to set. And the group of people he sets first. That is the only way that kind of protocol that was established by him raising only apostles. That kind of scenario can come back when he sets first. What? There's a reason for that. But I need to tell you something because my time has finished. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Then I sit down. Tomorrow, if I have a slot, we'll define apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. We'll define it first, before we start. Then you will see the powers. You will see the wiring. You will see, and then probably you might now understand why the church is like this. But let's attempt. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, this problem did not come up when the numbers did not increase. This is a number problem. It's a number situation. When the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It is not wise. It's not reason for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. It's not strategic for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. This is a situation that occasioned the establishment of the diaconate. But stay with me. You realize that the situation here is administrative, daily ministration. It's not a spiritual situation. And so you cannot deploy spiritual men to go and be doing daily ministration, administrative work. If you do that, the culture of the house is going to be compromised. We will look at that tomorrow. Are you with me? Can you discern what is happening here? This is an attack. Although the attack came... No, that's not the word. The attack came as a result of prayers. They prayed for growth, and growth had come. And through the growth, there was pressure for them to leave the pillars of the culture and then serve tables. Do you know what would have resulted if they served tables? The daily ministration would have been accurate. No widow would have complained again. They think the disbursement will reach the place they are sending it. Everybody will be happy. Hallelujah. But the orientation of ministry will change. The emphasis of this kind of ministry will be the people. And there will no longer be constellations. So let me stop. It came to pass in the church in Nigeria. We prayed for growth. The growth came. The growth comes with its own pressures. And in order to balance the pressures of growth and maintain the growth, some of the pillars were touched. And then we now have a body without witness, candle without light. Our presence in the territory is not felt. And even in national issues, the voice of the church is not a factor. What has happened to us is that the apostolic culture has been compromised. So it's a ministry of meeting human need, no longer about bringing men into their purposes in Jesus. Because in your purpose, your needs will be met consistently. But if we minister to your need today, you will still have another one tomorrow. Are you with me? You are not with me. Now, I need to tell you something quickly. Are you still here? Good. What this shift would have created, it would have created a kind of ministry that was only relevant in a fellowship, but is not relevant in the territory. And all the resources we receive from God will become fellowship resources, not territory resources. For instance, today, I know of a preacher that can call people's phone number. I don't know. That's the gift of word of knowledge, all right? It's a 080345. But that same minister cannot use that gift to locate where the Chibok girls are in Sambisa Forest. You are not with me. He can't locate them. Because it's about meeting need. So we sharpen the edge to meet need. And then we are totally irrelevant in the territory. Meanwhile, the entire layout of the structure of things in the book of Revelation was territorial. That's why we need to, from these few points of mine, that's one of the reasons why we need to emphasize again the apostolic culture.
Can we stand to our feet and just give God praise and worship Him? Lift up those hands and just wave them to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, we give you praise. 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 Just pray that thing. Don't let the word sink. I mean, just hang in the air. Sink it into your heart. Open your mouth and just ask the Lord for help. You came to the apostolic culture. It's Chariots of Glory 2017. It is not one of those meetings where we come to tantalize you, to flatter you, but so that precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there, men will be shifted and released into their destinies. Limbro se carababosa. Lombro se cariama zatabalaja. Borosco te bradis calibacuri mama.